if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordgren.
And I'm Chris Jeppa. And with us back again for the second time is fucking awesome community organizer and general all-around badass is Ashley.
Ashley, hello, welcome back to the shack.
Yeah.
Part two.
We
won't say Electric Boogaloo this time.
The last time that you were here, we were like, we should totally do a Buffy rewatch and talk about it, and we haven't done it, but
nope.
You've been watching Buffy.
I have been, and reading, so, you know, 20th anniversary since the first episode, so I've been reading all the stuff and just crying
all the time. Recaps?
Yeah.
Like, about how much of a good boy Anthony Stewart had. He's so nice. He adopted a trans kid. Basically.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not formally, but unofficially.
Basically, this kid wrote a letter to him and was just like, "You're great, and here's my story." And then Tony, as he calls him, basically invited him over for dinner or something.
Pretty cool.
Aww. So cute.
Pretty good.
So cute.
Yeah, someone I knew from high school moved to his neighborhood, basically, and just saw him walking around and at the farmer's markets and things all the time. He's just like, oh, there's Tony. It's Tony Head.
Tony Head is weird.
Which sounds much funnier than Anthony Stewart Head. That sounds, you can really forget that his last name is just Head.
No. That is actually a very strange last name.
If your name was, Lord Grantham of Oralsix or something like that, I don't know, it's just Head.
It's like when people's last names come from a profession back in the family, what do they do?
Ooh, I think with that a lot.
Hoeing. They were hoeing.
Or I was thinking executioner, actually.
Oh.
Chopping block, headsman.
Oh yeah. Mm. Ooh.
Anthony Stewart headsman. Sorry, I got up to turn off a lamp, so it probably felt like I just walked off to the other side of the universe.
I decided to open the curtains today and not block anything out, because it's beautiful as shit outside.
How many days did it rain in the last?
1,000,000.
1,000,000 days in the last month, somehow. Just, time dilated.
Sounds right.
It broke all bunch of records.
Yes, it was 57 or something like that. It was the rainiest March we've had. That's so sad.
Those numbers still don't line up.
Oh, the thousand, the million days?
No, the 57 days.
And then suddenly it's the rainiest March.
Oh, did I say 57 days?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, time dilation is a really serious issue facing society today. I don't know where I pulled that 57 out of. Probably my butt, if we're being honest.
But it was rainy. It was very rainy.
Thank you for reality checking us constantly, Ashley.
We need help.
So much.
Yeah, my lawn turned into a big soggy quagmire of terribleness, and it just
claimed several shoes.
Yeah, and then every time you walk in the back, you're just like, did I step in poop? Because it's just so squishy and slippy everywhere. It's really awful.
I hate it.
I bought new boots. They're pretty cute. I'll show them to you.
Excellent. Looking forward
to the Army and
it.
Navy shoe sale. So good.
Swing by there, but they don't have many for Sam Squanches.
I saw some Converse in your size.
Ooh, yay.
But don't we all want a nice pair of Chuck Taylors?
Well, I've heard that they are the best shoes for weightlifting because they have no rise in them at all. So to have a totally flat foot is good for powerlifting. So maybe I should buy those
shoes. You're so buff.
I'm very buff.
Look at your muscles.
Look at my muscles.
Oh,
they're so great. Nobody else can see them, but they're good.
They're so good.
But we gave a lot of, emphasis on it.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, we heard them. They went,
Yeah. There's just, flocks is the sound that it makes when you flex them. It's onomatopoeic for some reason.
Flocks?
Flocks. You know, it's Danish for flex. I don't know what I'm talking
You're
about.
You're silly.
You
How's your week been?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah, I've been trying to sort of figure out my own situation, because I'll be really, bummed out for a few days, and then I'll feel great, and then I'll be sad, and then I'm great. So I don't know what that's all about. It's definitely not, bipolar, because I'm not manic or anything like that, but it's just and then but this last week was all so I went out a bunch. I went to a couple comedy shows, and I performed last night, and I was out and about quite a lot. And I've been taking myself out for meals again, which is something I really love to do.
Aww.
So that's what I did today,
Treat
just before
yourself.
I came over here, as I went to the Cafe Roundel, round table. I don't actually know what it's called.
It's the Rondell, yeah.
But one of the servers just really fancies himself a Casanova type and kept calling me my love and my darling and all that stuff. I'm like, fuck off. I'm not. You sassy little mustache man.
Oh, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah, you do. But I had, oh, it was so good. I just had some huevos and just a glass of beer, which I love. I love being able to get a glass of beer for $3. Mm-hmm. Cause that's like the amount of beer I usually want to have. So that, and then I had an affogato for dessert, just a scoop of ice cream with some espresso.
You're doing it right, Katie.
Yeah, you really nailed this, like, taking yourself up for food.
Oh, I felt like I deserved it today, so I just did, and it was lovely, and I walked here in the sunshine, and just real great. Yeah. Good times.
It's, you know, maybe the meh, eh kind of mood cycles that you're feeling is also weather dependent.
It may very well be, yes.
It has been nice out in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's true.
Generally perks up the old, I was going to say gams for some reason.
It's the only thing that activates your leg muscles.
Yeah, it perks up your gams when it's sunny out. Of course. A thing that we
kicks
all know.
Up your heels.
That's like a true fact that we're all aware of.
We're all leg powered by the solar sun. Words. I did
What's
this.
Happening?
Who knows? I did a really fun show at XY, which is a gay bar.
Yeah, tell me about that.
In Davie Village in Vancouver, and it's a cool little venue. And they really worked for accessibility, but there was a bit of irony there because that club is not accessible for people who are physically disabled. It's up a huge set of stairs.
Oh, yeah. That place.
Yeah. I think it used to be a restaurant, but it's a very, very nice club inside, and it has the greatest bathrooms in the entire city because they are meant to be fucked in. in their bathroom. Wait, is that grammatically correct? There are bathrooms in which you can fuck or have sex if you prefer.
No, you don't have sex in those. You definitely fuck.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're like for cocaine and sex pretty much. So they're like single stalls, but it's completely enclosed and there's just a big, it's not even a vending machine. It is literally a trough on the wall of condoms and lube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a trough.
You don't even have to pay for them?
No, you just reach and grab a handful.
Great.
Just have some
harm reduction.
Have some fun there. Well, exactly. But it's the perfect place for like a sort of multi-gender queer event because you don't have to worry about the bathrooms, like anybody can use them, they're private, like you have your own integrity and dignity, which is so important
to
me.
All bathrooms should be like that for
every
real.
Single bathroom Ugh. Should be like that,
like right to the floor, people, right to the floor,
right to the floor. And so it was a really fun show. There was some cool people who have not done a ton of stand-up, but it was the right crowd for them because it went over really well.
Nice.
Like this girl Shoshana I know did her second ever stand-up set. She was very nervous, but she was actually very funny. Like, her bits were really good and very dry. So I think that if she just gets a little bit more experience, she'll be killing it. And there were ASL interpreters, which was super cool. So there was, and we had to submit our sets in advance so that the interpreters would sort of get the most flowy interpretation of it.
Oh, that's great.
It was so cool. Fatima headlined, Steve Letts was the host.
Nice.
So it was, you know, just a lot of like butt jokes and things about like being fat and hot and all that kind of stuff, which I love.
Perfect.
And it was just so evocative. Like watching them is so, they did not keep a straight face at all. Like they were just like emoting so much as they're signing. And it's just, it added so much to the experience, even as a hearing person. Like
that's so cool.
Just to get to see that, realizing how much of ASL can be sort of interpreted just based on context clues and things. Like it makes a lot of sense. Like there's this is gal Jackie Hoffart was doing a bit about having side vag, like visible side vag, because if just like her body proportions, and the signing for side vag was so fun. They're grimacing as they're doing it. Like it was so classic. I loved it. It was really fun. So I had a good time, and that was my week.
Past guest Hillary was taking the queer ASL courses, and she was telling me a lot about, like, facial grammar, which is really cool, where it's, like, if you're asking a question, you raise your eyebrows, like, just like you would do, you know, but it's, like, that each sign has, like, its own interpretation based on, like, the facial grammar that you do, which I think is, like,
really
a super cool concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not like you have your voice to, like, do the thing with the, you know?
Yeah.
But your face is doing it
for you. You mean up talking?
Yes.
The worst thing.
For like whatever it is, the cadence or whatever it is. Like it's
That makes it I should learn ASL. I have a very expressive face, so I'd have great face grammar, I think.
Well, I think
you
it's important to like
for grammar.
You got a face made for ASL.
Got a voice made for not just kidding.
Oh god. A face for radio. I do.
It's also a face for looking at.
Oh, thanks.
And admiring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Chris, how was your week?
I was good. Speaking of grammar, I just have a very funny story about a person that I wrote this very heartfelt email asking folks for some support and fundraising for, like, a cause that I'm really, you know, involved in and, like, very passionate about. And so I wrote this email, and this person basically told me, like, I started reading your email, and then I got to a point where you didn't capitalize some proper nouns, and it made me so mad that I'm not donating to your thing. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
That is absurd.
And when I got to, yeah, basically we had a conversation, and I was very, like, chill about it. I, like, kind of laughed a little, because I'm like, that's very silly. Definitely your problem. Like, I'm sorry mm-hmm. it didn't work for you, but, like, thanks for the feedback.
Yeah.
And my cousin was there, and he was just like, you handled that really well, like, your conflict res skills, blah, blah, blah. And then I got an email from this person today, doubling down, like, apologizing for, like, wrong place, wrong time, I'm really sorry for that, blah, blah, blah. But you know what really did make me really mad, and here's the exact passage that I've copied and pasted that I hated, and blah, blah, blah. It's because I didn't capitalize Commercial Drive or Main Street. I was just like, are you kidding me?
That makes me so angry.
I know.
And the fact that I obsessed about it.
Yes.
Enough to, like,
come
get
back.
In touch with you again and be like, oh, by the
That's
way.
That's the thing that made, I was like, okay, you know, we'll just let it go and it's fine. But the fact that they, like, emailed again to, like, double down, I'm going to write something back, like, you should have just let it go when I was in, like, generous mode.
Because you've engaged.
Because now I'm actually mad at you.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
You should just wait till you're, like, even more mad. And then, like, just, like, fire off all your, like, angry response emails.
This is bad advice that Ashley is giving you right now. Just to be the angel on your shoulder.
I feel like it would feel really good.
Yeah.
For a second.
Yeah. No, I don't know what I'm going to respond. I need to, like, sit on it because I'm just, like, I'm actually fuming, like, in mm-hmm. my body.
Oh, I'd be absolutely livid.
And then, like, yeah, this person basically said to me, like, and you handled it with such grace. I would have been in tears, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, why would you say that to somebody then mm-hmm. if you know how much it would upset you? Like, you can also just choose to say nothing. That's a PSA for everybody.
Yes. What I should have said was nothing.
Yeah. Basically. And if it just bothered her so much that, like, she just had to tell me, it's like, no, you do not. That is absolutely your problem. Mm-hmm. And you've put it on me, and now my weekend is kind of shot, you jerk.
Because I'm just steaming
Not
mad.
Actually shot. It's a good story. And I had witnesses, so it was fine.
Steam
my
like
My cousin was really just like, what is happening?
That is very funny and frustrating. Which is endemic to family
yeah,
situations.
I don't know if we've talked about this, like, just the whole correcting people's grammar thing. Like, I used to be really kind of obsessy about that and just, like, correcting. And then I realized, like, how classist it is.
It is,
really? Yeah. Or, like, you know, people's, like, and this person, like, teaches grammar and stuff like that. So that's why they were like, as a teacher, it's so egregious, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you get paid to do that, and you can do that on the time when you're getting paid. Like, mm-hmm. leave me alone.
Oh, my God. Don't make it your life project.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But it's, like, that's why this person, like, went into that, because I guess they were so. But now I'm, like, I realize so much. It's, like, it's not people's first language, or they had different education. Like, mm-hmm. as long as you can understand what people are talking about, it's fine.
Yeah.
And, like, this particular thing was, like, the most petty bullshit ever. So
that's very petty. It's really petty. It's Lori petty.
It's Tom petty.
It's Tom petty. And the heartbreakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that really bugs me, too, and I used to be really mm-hmm. uptight about grammar. Really, really, really uptight about it. And, like, the there, and there still gets me, but not in a way that I'm going to respond to, mm-hmm, unless it's, like, somebody has put together something very official to
like
go out, like,
screed.
Well, yeah, like, something, like, if they're writing copy for their home business
sure,
or something
absolutely.
Like that. Like if they're doing something that will really needs to reflect as cleanly as possible on them, then mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like,
and that's what editors are for.
I was just gonna say, you can hire someone for that. Like,
and I think for, like, papers and stuff, it is kind of important to get it right so mm-hmm. that you are understood and stuff. But even so, you know, like, one of the profs that I work with left their grading rubric on the printer, and I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, it was literally 120 points, like, with little checks next to them. It's like, and there was one that I gotta agree with full-heartedly, which is, don't use females in place of women.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are
it's
you
like,
a Ferengi?
You're not a Ferengi. 90, so, and you're not, you know, hopefully you're not a gamer gator or whatever, so please don't use that. And that was the only one I, but the other stuff is just so, it's like, oh, half a mark here, half a mark there, half a mark, it's just, yeah, you want people to take things seriously, but also don't nickel and dime someone for little errors, because it's really just about the efficacy.
Yeah.
Of communication, you know, and I love my parents very much, but they're both a little bit elitist when it comes to grammar and speech patterns and things. So one thing that they can never get over is people using the word like as a placeholder.
Oh, my grandma really had it. She like... Oh, damn it. If she was still alive, she would come at me. But, like, see, again, now I'm going to notice it.
See, that's the worst thing is that that's what they did to me, and now I do it way less, which they'll be like, oh, you're welcome for that, by the way.
Oh, no. But you actually just made me terrified to speak.
Not
Thank
even
you.
Terrified, but just that I was going to get, no.
My grandma was so... It was, like, this weird sort of pseudo-progressive thing, but also really not, where it was just, like, I want you to be a strong, confident woman that gets taken seriously, so you need to make your speech patterns more male, because otherwise, talking like a woman means you're gonna get disrespected, so, you know, my grandpa did that as well, where he's, like, got me to stop apologizing for stuff, which That's is so a helpful, important. It's a helpful thing to not just, oh, sorry about that, sorry, and so that's a good thing to kind of eliminate, and those, like, those qualifying language things, like... Oh, it's just my opinion or whatever.
Do you think maybe I feel like we could?
Yeah. So those things are handy, but then she really got on me as like the like and the uptick at the end of sentences and things like that where it's fine.
It's kind of just
it's actually fine.
It's kind of just fine. And the thing is when I'm made aware of that, you can't fix other people's behavior, especially if they're not your daughter, right? Like, it's one thing for my parents to do it to me, but they do it to my wife all the time. Or they don't actually do it. She mostly says it to me now. I'm kind of like, don't. I'm not on your side about this. I love you to death, and I know that this is your bugaboo, but this is a hill you unfortunately need to die alone on. Metaphorically, I don't want my parents to die alone on a hill or anywhere for that matter.
They'd rather you push them off the hill.
They'd rather I push them off the cliff when they get dementia. That's a thing. Anyway, yeah, so... It is something that I think I'm maybe just a little bit grateful for, but in the way that, you know, it's like Stockholm Syndrome, kind of. So, I really do use fewer placeholders when I speak, but now, it doesn't behoove me in any way to be paying attention to the way other people use them, and that is the effect. Yeah. And I don't care.
The placeholder thing, and we talked about this last time I was here, actually, but, it always fascinates me, and talking about it, I know. but part of it is because, especially as women in careers surrounded by men at all.
Oh, yeah, of course we did, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
And so we use placeholder text, because if we don't, guys always jump right in. Mm-hmm. That's always what happens to me, anyway, if I don't.
Singing Celine Dion over there, Katie?
Nope. I like our background music.
Just got a lot of, like, soft rock in my head today.
I
walked in singing Phil Collins.
This is why we need three microphones, so I can, like, just mute yours when you can talk.
Just a permanent cough button on old Katie's. I'm so sorry. Continue, please.
Oh, well, was it last time? Is that men interrupt you if you don't have placeholders.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Those guys. Shut up.
Yeah. So you just have to keep talking, or else if there's any perceived gap, you will just get, like, steamrolled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started to just stab people when they do that. It's very effective.
Probably not very nice, though.
Yeah, I will go to jail. Yeah,
I definitely come off as not nice, because I will stop them and say I wasn't done. And then you come
up...
You do have to.
But then in order to defend your space, then you're a bitch and not a team player and blah, blah, blah.
I've noticed when I start to push back that guys get a little nervous, and sometimes they're a little put out, and then they want to fix it. So it's kind of like the email that you're talking about, where they're like, well, you know, I'm not a jerk. I'm like, yeah, I know you're not.
Yeah.
And then wasn't done. They're like, well, I just, you know, it's just like, I'm like, yeah, I get it.
It's totally a habit.
You can break it. Yeah. It's, well, you know, I'm really sorry. It's like, you need to hold this to your own heart right now and hold your own feet to the fire, because this is not my job.
And you're like, I will not grant you absolution. Like, I'm not here to, like...
We're fine, but I'm mad at you. Like, live with me me being mad at you. And guys hate that. They hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, they hate it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they hate
it.
I love it. Yeah, me too. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like it when somebody is worried that I'm mad at them, because I'm so rarely mad for any length of time.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, ooh, power I didn't even have to work for.
Oh my gosh, Ashley, how was your week?
Yeah, how was your week?
It was busy. Mm-hmm. It's on a uptick now.
Yes.
It's now a new week, though, I guess, so.
Yeah, we'll see what happens come Monday.
Oh, new week. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, Celine Dion, you soft rock my world.
She does.
Have you heard of, there's a band called The Arrogant Worms.
I've heard, and yes.
Oh, Celine Dion, you soft rock my world.
She's so beautiful.
And they do, like, a whole thing of, like, what rhymes with Celine at the end, and it's like... It's like, Chlorine. I wish you'd slather me in a tub of Vaseline. Oh, Celine. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
That was my whole, like, high school existence, was, like, singing Arrogant Worm songs in the van driving home from choir. Because
nice.
I am a huge fucking nerd.
I love it.
Let it be known if you didn't know that.
Just, if you didn't get the memo between the Vampire the Masquerade LARPing sessions... And pretending to be a vampire at local French restaurants, at a brasserie, if you prefer.
I was listening to the Adventure Zone podcast, because they just released a couple of bonus episodes, and one with Lin-Manuel Miranda, so
oh,
I had
perfect.
To go back a few to, like, get the thread
right.
before he jumped in, and I really like it, and it makes me want to play Vampire the Masquerade all the time now. I'm like, I would be such a good storyteller.
You want to be a GM?
Yeah, they call it storytellers.
Oh, sorry.
Instead of, like, game master or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You want to be the master of the game?
Mm-hmm. I like it. I think you would be good.
Yeah. I just
well, you're very
good.
Bossy, so.
Yeah.
So it would work.
I bossed around a lot of people yesterday.
And how was that?
Just, like, we were sitting at a really, really large table, and there was 20 people, and one person was sitting, like, in the middle of a bunch of empty seats, and I was like, you have to move so that they can sit down, and blah. I was like... shuffling the seating arrangements.
Bullshit.
And people are just like, we only see you like once every 2 years. Why do you have to be a bitch?
But then I'm just trying to make things work.
I know. I'm in a bit of like, yeah, boss organizer sort of mode right now because I'm trying to get stuff done.
It's a fairly standard Chris mode.
I know.
Pretty standard.
I know.
But your week is improved?
Yeah, week
it
improved.
It started crap.
Yeah, every week is pretty... stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, it's not that it's a bad week, it's just that I've explained it as every day, just a whole new wave just washes over me. By the end of the day, I get, you know...
Your head above water.
Yeah, and I'm like kind of treading water a little bit, and the next morning it's just a whole other wave.
Oh yep,
my
goodness. You're like, oh hey, guess what?
So.
Guess what? There's more.
Yeah.
More
so
what?
Yeah.
Just more.
Just more. Exactly. Exactly. It's not even like a consistent more. It's just.
It's just always
just more.
More.
But it's good. It's okay. Mm. It's for a greater good.
Yes. Yeah. That's like, it's a difficult thing when there's just a lot that you have to handle in a very short amount of time. And... Yeah, I don't even know what I'm really saying, but it's like you're kind of expected to subsume a lot of things to just be like, we only have this amount of time, so you have to get so much done, and it's really important, you have to give up everything else, and you have to really dedicate, and it's like, how about we take time and, like, look after ourselves and each other as well?
Totally.
And that kind of culture in some workplaces is not... It's kind of hard to break out of that if everybody's used to, like, kind of martyring themselves for
totally.
A cause a little bit.
Well, it's
which,
funny
that's maybe not fair to say, but you know what I mean.
But it is true, and on... In the past, the teams I've worked with, like, we have taken time to have time together and to I'm trying to, like, figure out how to explain this, but on campaigns, like, campaign teams, I'm just gonna break it out. you spend so much time together that you might as well just form a family.
Yes.
Which I'm very, very into. I'm really into the community vibe and the family vibe, and I really try to make that happen. And every other campaign, it's been no problem, but this time, it's like, there's so much more, and it's such a much larger group of people, so it's a lot harder to make that happen.
Yeah, you're moving sort of out of your little, like, pod into a larger system.
And I've tried to build a new pod. My pod's not working. Mm. I've kind of adopted another pod within the pod.
Yeah,
but... is it whales?
We are whales, yeah.
You're whales?
Yeah.
Policy whales?
Yeah.
I was just, like, trying to latch onto the metaphor here.
Yeah, I know. I felt that way in school a lot where...
Pod people.
Pod people, yeah.
Assimilate. No, it's a... at school, there was a definitely a thing where, like, all of just, like, five of us kind of found each other in the, like, 80 people in the cohort, and it was just like, okay, we can't all... They wanted us to be like, hey, all of you guys are going to work in public health, and so you all need to, like, get along, because you're all going to be future coworkers. Maybe someone's going to be your boss in the future. So,
don't,
like, you got to...
have sex with anyone.
Well, you got to respect each other and all that kind of stuff, and that's why they made us do so much group work. Oh, my God, because, like, everything in public health is very collaborative. But then, yeah, this, like, smaller group within kind of emerged, and it was just really nice to have, like, your little pack of people that you could...
Just someone to
bond with and always work well with and that kind of thing.
Especially when you're doing long hours, whether it's, like, in school or in a campaign or in some other, like, busy work schedule, it's just nice to have someone, one, who kind of gets what you're doing, and two, also likes to be social.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of work for no social time.
Yeah.
So,
you want to make sure that you're having fun while you're doing
it. Exactly.
I'm a Scorpio rising, and so I was looking at affirmations for the week from Jenny Nicholas, and my Scorpio, because I read both, it's like, you read your sign and then your rising sign and kind of put them together, and so my Scorpio one was very much like, it literally said, like, find your coworkers that you can, like, make mischief with, basically, and that want to be your partner in crime, this is going to be really important. I'm just like, oh, spot on, definitely. It's all real. Until I read something I don't agree with, and then it's totally both.
Oh, no way. Even the stuff I don't agree with, I'm like, okay, I gotta watch out for that.
I don't like that, but okay. Yeah, I was reading the one that was, like, talking about the relationship you have with your mother based on your moon sign or something like that. Apparently my moon's in Gemini, and I don't like what that has to say. It also doesn't really speak to the relationship I have with my mom. I don't remember what it said, but I was just like, that's not true! This is all garbage. I don't like it. Oh, should we follow up that sweet past guest Lauren did have her baby and it's a filthy Aries? A beautiful little girl and a disgusting Aries.
It's okay, her moon is in Pisces, so...
Oh, good. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Very I'm an Aries.
We're totally kidding. She's a beautiful baby, though.
Funny. An absolute. So it's your birthday coming up soon.
On Tuesday.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Hey, it's your birthday.
Yay.
Podcast.
It's your birthday, Ashley.
Yeah. Your happy birthday.
Thank
for
you.
A present, you get to be on our show again. It's the only reason. It's
not a very good present, unfortunately. We just sort of, like, talk at you.
No, I'm not going to lie. It's funny because I listen whenever I can. I listen, and I'm like, I wish I was there. I have things I want to say.
That's how I feel listening to absolutely every podcast that I listen to.
There's that funny pic, like,
it's
meme
just
it's
someone, like, eating ice cream in the Philippines next to a picture from, like, a Philippine ice cream company where everybody's really happy about the ice cream that they're eating.
And the kid is just, like he's part of the picture, but it's like, that's what it's like listening to podcasts.
Yes. 100%.
Oh, that is accurate.
Mm. Oh, you should, you're the only person who's allowed to email us, then. If you have things you need to say, then you
As
may
I'm
email
listening,
us.
I'm just like,
no one else
okay,
has
so
this privilege.
So this podcast, here's my response to what you're saying.
I would actually love that, because sweet, sweet Meredith, who is our number one fan, I hope, I think, yeah, probably, because she doesn't owe us anything and she listens to every episode. You know, she hasn't even made it on the show yet. We've given her nothing back and she's given us all this. Well, I guess we've given her the show, but that seems weird to say you're welcome for, because we just would have done it anyway. Anyway, she said that she was just, like, pointing out her favorite bits from the episode that we had with Morgan Brayton, and I really liked that. Just the thing is, like, oh, Karen's a bitch, you know? It's the weird things that, like, stick out for people.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
Things that were completely offhand, then it was like, oh, that made me laugh for, like, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Really did it.
That's great.
That's nice.
I'm into it.
It is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes my heart happy.
Me too.
Yeah. Welcome. Yeah.
We really did have, like, a solid idea of what we wanted to talk about on these episodes, but then thought we might get in trouble for it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to, like, think of how to, like, talk around it without...
So we're being very circuitous today. Just trying to make that good content for, you know, our thousands of millions of listeners that are listening out there today. Billions.
I read a really creepy, awesome book.
What was it?
Did I already talk about Dark Eden?
No.
And then the mother
Dark,
of Eden.
Dark Eden. Dark Eden ain't Dark Cheating.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yeah,
don't worry. Just being salacious.
That's gross.
Yeah, you're laughing, though. You're crying a little bit.
Okay.
us about Dark
I'm feeling
Eden.
Silly. Oh, it's like, okay.
Oh, and Eden's mother?
Yeah, the mother of Eden.
Oh, mother of Eden, sorry.
Yes.
Go on.
And so, a mom that's a garden.
It's about, like, some humans crashed on, like, they went through a wormhole and crashed on, like, this planet that basically the colors of it would basically be, like, if you were in inverted, like, you know how when you look at a negative?
Yeah.
Like, so all the flora and fauna is, like...
Pink?
Pink and blue, and everything is, like, it's a completely dark world, but it has all these, like, lantern flowers that, like, light things up, so it's really,
so
like...
So kind of, it sounds like it's, like, the world from Avatar.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen James Cameron's opus, Avatar?
No, James Cameron's opus is Titanic.
You're obviously correct.
I don't remember the, like, the leaves being...
Oh, it was just all kind of like, well, at night they would light
up,
right?
Oh, right, it's glowing.
And then they would have sex by touching their hair together.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
how that,
that
movie
was weird.
Goes.
No, and this is human, so they have sex.
So, is this the one where they, like, try to, like, get back to Earth or something?
Yeah.
And, like, they, like, are colonizing more planets?
No. Okay. So this is, like, they're just, they're basically stuck on Earth, and it was, like, two humans stayed and, like, repopulated the Earth, so everyone's, like, super inbred and, like...
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's kind of weird, and, like, all the, like, the Earth lore that they talk about, it's, like, basically it's five or six generations later after... with, like, 500 people or something like that, and they have all these, like, council thing and, like, their religion that's kind of based on, like, the president, because that's, like, the president chased the space explorers from blah, 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 so the president is actually, like, God to them, which is very interesting, and, like, there's all these, like, yeah, stories, and the way that they talk is really interesting. I don't know, I really liked it. It was, like, an alternate look of just, like, oh, this is how we're supposed to be human, because this is what, like, our great mother from the sky told us to do, and, yeah, it just was, it's a really trippy book. It's like an alternate reality kind of thing of, like, how it could be, you know. But, like, they have, like, these artifacts, like, a metal ring and, like, a model of a car, and there's, like, a keyboard, and they're, like, these, like, artifacts,
yeah,
you know. That, but then the people that live there are, like, primitive, like, hunter-gatherer types living in, like, their own sort of, like, civilization that they're creating and, like, making up all these, like, weird rules to, like, adapt to, like, the weird, like, dark environment and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the second book is, like... another, like, 20 generations later or something, and it's really,
is everybody,
like,
real fucked up at that point? Like,
yeah.
Like, just weirdly shaped and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Like, it's pretty bad. But then it's, like, it really turns, there's, like, a tipping point at the end of one book that goes into the second book where it really changes from, like, a matriarchal to a patriarchal culture.
Bam!
Yeah, and you see what happens when the men take over, and it's, like, really awful, and there's, like, a lot more, like, accumulated, like, wealth and power and property, and suddenly, like, women are, like, owned now as, like, because, of course, like, the guys need to know who the father is of the children,
right?
So we need to lock that shit down. Like, it's just the same kind of story repeated.
Yeah.
So, it was very interesting.
No
the second
kidding.
Book kind of made me mad, but...
Yeah, it doesn't sound enjoyable, but
yeah.
The first one sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's neat as, like, an alternate, sort of, like, an anthropological study.
Mm-hmm.
Human
exactly.
behavior. But in, like, weird fish-out-of-water circumstances.
It sounds like a very, like, B-movie type
mm-hmm.
plot. Is it, does it come off that way in the reading, or is it better written than that?
I think it's better written than that.
Because I read all those, like, Robert J. Sawyer books that are so fucking corny, but I love them so much, and they have such interesting concepts like
mm-hmm.
that, so it kind of seems like it might be in line with that kind
yeah,
of vibe,
probably.
Where you're like, this is a bit silly, but it's also, I cannot stop. I simply cannot stop, and of course that's, I mean, that's coming from everybody who, in this room, who love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so we're not that committed to realism.
No. Yeah.
They are taking it off of Netflix.
Fuck off!
What?
I just spat everywhere.
Why?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Why?
I don't know. I have to assume that Netflix has, like, a certain
limits
time
for
contract.
Or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Because I can't imagine why they would do that, especially
stuff,
this year.
Stuff
I know.
Goes and comes back, though.
You better come back.
Star Trek was gone for a while, and now it's back.
Oh, it's back, eh?
Yeah.
I haven't been on Netflix in a
while. I'm going to tweet at them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we should all right now.
At this moment.
We need Buffy.
Give it back. Don't let it go away, please. I don't know why we should do
it
like a baby.
We need it.
Is that Foley?
My angry email to Netflix.
Dear Clint, I assume that is your name. Please, Clint Netflix.
Yeah, dear Mr. Flix.
Dear Mr. Net Q Flix. But the Q is spelled Q-U-E-U-E.
Oh, no.
Ayo.
That's good. My friend posted something about that, too, that she was watching Buffy, and it's like, you know this was a long time ago because Buffy calls an email an e-letter at some point in the first season.
Oh, e-letter?
Wow, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that the actress that played Jenny Calendar has become an evangelical Christian.
Oh, which is really?
So she won't participate in Buffy stuff because she thinks it's dark-sided.
That's hilarious.
She was a techno pagan in it, and she was such a cutie pie.
Yeah.
That's like when Anne Rice went through her phase of, like, I need to disavow any vampire stuff. I'm only going to write about Jesus. And then she was like, not doing this
Bring
anymore.
Back them sexy vampires with their cold dicks.
Like a slab of marble entering her.
Oh, God. Wait, that's definitely Stephanie Meyer, right?
No,
did
but...
Anne Rice even talk about vampire ding-dongs?
Yes,
she's
she
like, she's like, oh, biting feels so much better than sex.
Yes. But there was one, okay, when Marius and Pandora, it's in the book Pandora, when Marius and Pandora got together and they, like, she was just a newly turned vampire and he'd been a vampire for not that much longer, and they coupled together just as, like, the, just to, like, feel some kind of comfort, but they're like, it didn't feel like anything, just a cold piece of marble, like, sitting in there. So
that
they just, like,
so
they just, like, hooked their bits together and just slept like that. Mm. But, it didn't actually do anything for them anymore. So then, yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, I don't want to be a non-sex vampire.
No.
But that's what the biting is for. That's the penetration.
I guess.
Can't you just have both, though? Like, I don't even need the penetration. Yeah. For being real. Mom and Dad, don't listen to this one. I already mocked you for your grammar. Elitism. Don't know that I also want to bang vampires, please. Oh, God. Backtrack!
Nope.
Damn it.
Not editing this, even though I have the power to.
You have the power.
I'm not doing it.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, what about, what's the show? Oh, God. With, like, Suke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Vampire.
True Blood.
Vampire Orleans.
And,
why does New Orleans always where vampires are?
I don't know,
it's
so spooky. Hot and sexy.
Yeah.
It's very sexy there.
And there, biting and penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Looks great.
Yeah.
That's the best. Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, well, I get the Buffy one. They were doing a lot of fucking, too, in Buffy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Vampire Diaries, which I've started watching, which I believe I've seen.
So good. I heard you mention that in the past
it's
podcast.
It's pretty good, and they definitely... Basically, their, like, origin story, like, their mythology is that, like, the blood that they drink from humans, like, just keeps their actual cells alive, so they're not really, like, dead bodies.
Mm.
They just need to, like, keep drinking or else they'll start, like, shriveling up and, like, mummifying.
Whoa.
But so it's, like, keeping their actual human bodies animated, so
wow.
Their dicks work good.
You're That's... really... I did not pick up the mythology, the lore of Vampire Diaries.
I
just liked it. Pretty people.
Those are my
so pretty
really great
vampire
clothes.
Myths is when they're like still kind of alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like, oh, they're dead. That's not as interesting to me.
Yeah.
The weird, like, the vampire, Interview with the Vampire and, like, all the Anne Rice stuff is a weird mythology where they basically are, like, it's a blood-drinking spirit that lives all in them and is divided up in multiple places, and then it's, like, the heart of, like, the actual little, like, weird spirit is, like, a little, like, bee thing, and it just, like, lives inside of Maharet and Makere.
What?
Yeah.
What? I've read all these
Isn't
books.
Isn't that complicated? That sounds so complicated.
And there's, like,
oh
a
God.
Huge backstory around, like, the first queen that's in Queen of the Damned, right? It's, like,
yeah.
She gets attacked by
Oh, I don't like
this,
that book.
She gets attacked by the spirit thing, and it sucked all the blood out, and then it, like, lives inside of her. And
right.
And then, like, a piece of that spirit goes to every vampire, so then that's why if you kill the one, then you kill everybody.
Yeah.
But so,
right.
The Vampire Diaries, I guess, has
also
a spinoff
Lost
called
Boys.
The Originals, right? And
okay.
I started watching that first, and then I realized that it was all part of the same thing. But apparently in there, if you kill one of the originals, you would wipe out, like, a whole... If you kill the Maker, their whole line dies, so I'm like, but how does that work if there's no, like... spiritual connection. Anyway, I'm excited to learn more.
So this is
yeah.
more of a vampire politics,
like,
episode.
Yeah,
right? We can't talk about real politics of vampire
what
politics.
What I do want to say is that kind of fits in with True Blood, where, like, you feed and serve, like, you bite the person.
Yeah.
And, like, almost kill them, and then you feed them your own blood.
Right.
I can see how that line
And that's what they do in
work.
Vampire Diaries as well,
yeah.
is that you have to have your...
I like
Their
that.
Blood. Yeah.
I like that.
That one makes the most sense to me
yeah.
as well. Like,
it also is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, like, that's my favorite part is, like, figuring out, it's like, ooh, how do they, this and that. And it's like, that's why Twilight pisses me off forever
yeah.
because, like, it's so, it's
yeah.
like PG and stupid.
yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. No, we can't have can't have sex, we can't have sex. We got married, oh, I'm gonna have sex. Oh, I shouldn't have had sex with you. That's pretty much the whole
plot. That's Twilight. That's the whole thing.
It's Twilight, basically. Yeah.
And then, like, I like how in Vampire Diaries, too, there's, like, a big, like, witch and, like, magic element to everything, too. And so, like, and I like that they can't walk in the sun, but if you wear, like, a special piece of jewelry, you're, like, you're safe. But
ooh, like, the Gem of Amara from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah. Or, sorry, Angel, if you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is really the episode it was on, actually. Yeah. It was a crossover episode.
I was going to say, I was like, there's a crossover.
I remember that was, like, that was probably the year that I was most excited about Buffy. It was, ironically, one of their worst seasons was season 4, is when I really, like, first got so... into it as soon as season 3 was done, right? Like, because I didn't start watching it in 97. I started watching it probably 99 or something. And so, like, when season 3 was done, I, like, tried to go back and, like, watched all the reruns and all that kind of stuff. So it would play on YTV at certain times of day, which, if you knew when to look, that kind of thing. And then DVDs, we had them. That's good. So I got caught up, but then, yeah, season 4 is when I started watching it really live, and it's not a great season, but it also is when Angel started, and so there was double the content.
Yeah.
Good content.
So I still haven't actually watched Angel.
Ooh.
I only watched the first season.
I love it. Love it. It's so good. It ends so good.
Only recently have I come around to the idea of Angel at all. Like, I didn't like him in Buffy, so I was glad when he was gone.
Yep, me too. Not a fan.
So I think that's why pick up the his own series, but I think I can get
Wesley's
into it
in it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Wesley and Cordelia.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal.
And I've seen the episodes with Cordelia when she becomes like the god or whatever, that always made me want to watch it because I think that's a great thing for her.
Mm-hmm. She should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
She should be a god.
She needs a redemption arc for sure.
Definitely. And yeah, and Wesley, real life actor, is Allison Hannigan's husband.
Oh, right. That's true.
They're so love cute.
They're very cute together.
Yeah.
I just, like, I did a full rewatch of Buffy while I was finishing, I guess, my undergrad, I think.
Okay.
And it was, like, finals time, and there was lots of take-home exams, and it was a lot of procrastinating.
Definitely the time to watch Buffy,
yeah. And it was just, like, so soothing, because I'd already seen it, so it, like, really, like,
just
helped.
Play it in the background.
It helped with the anxiety, for sure.
Yeah.
And so our friend Allison had the, not past guest Allison, but a different Allison. And, so she had the box set of both Buffy and Angel, so then I started watching them together, and I would watch Angel, like, one, and then one, and one, and one, and one, and watch them sort of as the timeline.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
I liked it.
Did it, like, tie together?
Yes. Yeah, and then the crossovers, like, made more sense. Because then you're just like, oh yeah, I forgot that in Buffy, when she leaves, she actually
is going
shows
there,
up.
Yeah.
In LA or whatever?
Yeah.
When she's Anne?
No, a different time.
Different time.
Yeah, there's a few different ones where she comes in to help.
She had some difficulties.
Yeah.
Buffy.
Tough sure
life.
Did.
Very tough life.
Yeah.
I still maintain that the hardest episode ever was the body.
Oh, 100%.
Was that with her mom?
Yeah. Absolutely. Spoiler.
That
is worse than any demon or, like, oh, the world's gonna end. Doesn't matter.
No.
That was just so devastating. The most, like banal death that happens in the whole series is the most devastating.
Yes. Well, it's so interesting because so much of, that reminded me of something else, but so much of the series, it's all symbolic of stuff we deal with in real life, but then that was, like, super real and
real
in your face.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so hard because it's something that will happen to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to cope with that.
Speak for yourselves! My mom's gonna live forever!
Yeah, she will. She's tough.
She's a tough old broad.
She's so stubborn that she'll just never die.
That's the theory.
Just will it away.
Yeah, Brenda's like, fuck off, death! I got a golf game to play. That's her for sure.
And the Grim Reaper's like, okay.
No.
Well, alright.
And then she makes him wash the dishes. Sorry, what did it remind you of?
Well, I was also thinking of watching the, like, Entertainment Weekly, like, video of all the actors come together. And,
for the reunion.
Yeah, and watching, like, the way, like, Allison Hannigan and, oh, the one who plays Tara, I forget her name every time.
Amber Benson.
Yeah, and they look at each other. And I'm just like, you guys.
Like, hey, remember when you died? That was sad. Wait, which one of us died? Oh, I died several times. You only died the one time. But when you died the time, it was really sad because you died for good.
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
That was a good love.
Yeah.
So good. But I loved Oz. as well.
Oh, me too.
Oz is so
cute. I know, I'm always torn, but I really like...
It's, you know what? He
looks so good now.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my god, Seth Green. Yeah. Tiny dude could get it.
Oh yeah, big time.
Oh, that little beard. Oh, he's so cute. I always liked him,
me
though.
Me too.
I always, was always did. Like, when favorite. He was in the 90s, even, like, in Can't Hardly Wait, when he played that, like, terrible character.
Yeah.
I could see myself so much in that ginger girl who is in Can't Hardly Wait. I was, like, just a sarcastic little shithead in high school, and I definitely would have, like...
Locked in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just so little and cute. I just want to pick him up in my arms.
Yeah. But it's like, you don't have to choose between Oz and Tara.
No.
Because Willow didn't have to. Like, she lived a long, wonderful life and, like, was able to have both.
Yep.
So,
good job, Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but when he comes back...
I know.
Such a, like, a sentimental little sap.
Yeah. That's a tough one for the queer girls in the audience of Buffy, I think, because we're like, yes, Willow and Tara, but like, but Oz was a nice boy.
And then when Oz comes back, it's like, who will she choose?
Mm-hmm. And then I like that it wasn't just like, and now I'm totally just gay forever. It's like, mm-hmm. no, I still, like, yeah.
Have feelings.
Yeah.
Poor Boo.
You know, as a bisexual woman, I really appreciated that to be like, it doesn't, just because I'm with her now, doesn't erase the relationship that we
had. Totally.
And
yeah, the way
it was all real. It wasn't me pretending to like you or anything like that. It's
like, I like they played the long game with Willow and the whole, like, oh, I'm so mean and skanky. And I think I'm kind of gay.
Yes. Yes. No, me too. Me too.
You know what? They were showing Buffy at the hot dog place that I like.
What's up, hot dog?
Yeah, because they always play good shit on Netflix every time that I'm in there. And so there was one, it was one of the first episodes, and Buffy said something about, like, I think Xander was saying something about, like, oh, Buffy, I want to take you to the dance. And it was when he was getting all, like, mean friend-zone-y bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said something like, there was some comment about, like, oh, well, like, I wouldn't go to the dance, like, with you or Willow. Like, oh, is Willow asking? Like, Buffy was kind of like... Like, Willow wouldn't want to go to the dance with me, would she? Like, kind of questioning, it's like, is she gay? Like, right off the bat.
Oh, that's so
funny. So I wonder if they knew and they had planned it.
Like, I think so.
I have to assume, but you don't know.
It does seem like they planted the seed for that.
Yeah, so that's another fun reason to rewatch, as you pick up all the, like, clues. Mm-hmm.
I'm coming back onto Joss Whedon's train just a little bit, because, like... I could not get behind the whole Marvel stuff. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I tried to, and I just don't. Like, no disrespect to anybody who's into it, but the movies are boring to me.
Yeah.
And his whole, like, just the way he responds to criticism is not exactly elegant, for lack of a better way to phrase it. But I also realize, like, hey, everybody gets to contain some multitudes. Like, mm-hmm, they can be problematic, but have made, like, really important things, right? Like, we always come to that conclusion, right? Like, mm-hmm. that it doesn't have to be, you know, one... bad apple doesn't spoil the whole orchard, or I don't exactly know what I'm trying to say here, but basically that it was really easy for me to throw the baby out with the bathwater for a while, and now I'm starting to realize, like, I think it might be time for me to rewatch a Buff.
But I'm still mad, because apparently he was really mean to Charisma Carpenter or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When she was pregnant, he was, like, super shitty about it or something like that.
Yeah,
and
I think she got fired for being pregnant, basically.
No.
Well, it's hard to say, you know. Who's to say? Mm-hmm. Who can never be sure?
Shit.
Wrongful termination clause.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then finding out that, like, Gene Roddenberry was a sexist and stuff. Like, it's just all that kind of, like, oh, men in power kind of dinks, mostly.
Oh, totally. We were just talking
mostly
about
dinks. We were just talking about that. Yeah, it's like, we should really, like, get that matriarchy thing going.
I could basically say that about any time. It's like, oh, we were just talking about it. It's like, it comes up all the time.
Yeah.
That's the reality that we live in.
Yeah.
Three shrill cunts talking about how men are dinks. They don't like what they do. It's a lot of problems. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Three shrill cunts.
You made her spit tea.
You like my, like, 50s theme song?
I like it.
Did not expect the end.
Let's do a sitcom.
Just call, instead of my three sons, it's three shrill cunts.
See, we could have named the podcast that.
Yeah, except... well, then my mom would never listen to it.
Is that the title of the episode?
I'm just writing C-bombs a go-go. I've got a lot of different things. I wrote Electal Dysfunction, and I wrote Vampire Politics, and now I've wrote C-Bombs a Go-Go.
Nice.
Because I said the cunt word a bunch. The dirty, dirty cunt word. You're laughing so much, I swear.
I like it.
I don't say it very often, so when I do, it lands.
Yeah, it's just got that good, good K sound at the beginning. It's pure comedy is what that is.
Comedy. Oh, you just reminded me about comedy is that someone who was on the show with me last night, Jackie Hoffert, who is someone that I've been mistaken for several times, and she's been mistaken for me. We don't actually look alike, but we're both slightly, like...
archetypical?
We're slightly archetypical queer women who wear glasses and are kind of stockily built, so we get... Except that I'm, like, 7 inches taller than she is.
Yeah.
That's not fair. She's like 5'6" or something, but I am significantly taller. So anyway, she approached me after the show. She's like, I don't know how you feel about this, but would you like to maybe do a roast battle with me sometime? I was like, I never want to do a roast battle, but I kind of want to do one with her.
Yeah.
I sort of do. I think that would be kind of fun. I'm like, I hate roasts, but I heard about some jokes coming out of the one that happened this last Friday, because of course I know everybody who was involved in it. And I'm thinking like, maybe I should do it just to show myself that I can. I'm not sure.
What does that entail? I'm so like...
It's like, I think it's 5 minutes of just back-to-back, like, I haven't actually gone to see it, which I probably should do before I do it, but I also don't care. But I think it's like you just sort of one-line each other back and forth. So I think that there was one
like
that...
Your face looks like a something and a something or
sure. Well, there's this guy, there's this local guy named, I won't say his whole name, but his name is Alex, and up against this gal named KC, who I think is just really fantastic.
Yes.
You know her, she's super funny, you'd love her, she's great. Anyway, she's super tall, and she's just, like, built like a normal person, like, she has a very average build, I would say, but I think Alex was like, I'm gonna do a bunch of fat jokes about her, I hope she doesn't kill herself, like, that was what he said at an open mic about her.
Ah,
I was like, oh
no.
Boy, and it's like, she's gonna have to, like, go, but she probably won't die, because she's so fat, so she can't cut through her wrists, or whatever. I was like, that's an awful joke, and it's not funny.
It's not even actually funny.
No, it's not. And I was like, well, you know.
If that's the caliber of the
comedic, the comedic process or whatever, like, I thought that was stupid. But then I heard what her first opening joke was, like, Alex approached me to be his roast battle partner for this, and I wanted to say no, but then I thought, maybe I should say yes, just so that Alex knows what it's like if a woman consents to him.
Oh, shit.
And so I was kind of like, how can I, if I'm going to roast somebody, they should just be exactly like me, because I can roast myself so fucking well.
Okay.
Right, so for her, it's just like, yeah, you do like this women's studies looking motherfucker kind of thing. Like that's exactly what it's all about.
You'll
like,
just
all this
like,
stuff.
You'll just do each other like, just insulting yourself the
basically
way.
Basically yeah, but she like,
that's confusing.
Well, there's a few different things like that I could, because she's got a bit about how she met her fiance on Tinder, and she's like, I'm 6 years older than my fiance, which sounded really striking until she's like, oh, I'm 36. I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it just, because I could be like, okay, she's a cougar who trolls for puss on Tinder or something like that. Like, I don't really know. I don't know how to be mean to people out loud. I really don't know how to do it.
You gotta tap into, I actually really want you to do this now. I'm like rubbing my hands together
you
maniacally.
You look absolutely gleeful at the idea of me doing this, because I think you know how uncomfortable I'm gonna be.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Justin's gonna do it, and he's gonna go up against Ed Konya. So, past guest, Justin O'Hearn, future
Justin's,
guest, Ed Konya.
Justin's, he's got a...
Mean
he
streak?
He could be mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why he's the only other person I would think about doing it with, because then I could just, because I love him, but he's very mockable. Just as, like, I'm very
he's
lovable,
super
but super
mockable.
He's doing a PhD on Victorian porn, for fuck's sakes.
All right.
Yeah.
Very easy to make fun
of.
I don't even know where I was going with that, but just like that's should have been another thing for this week, I guess.
I really want you to do this, because you can like you could tap into like you're so nice and you choke down a lot of stuff, like a lot of bullshit from the world. You could unleash it all on your opponent.
I just be like, "Hey, you look like a doormat. Are you a doormat?" I'm also a doormat. You Katie Norgren looking motherfucker. I just like you blank blank looking motherfucker is my favorite just thing to say to anybody. Like I just will come up with that on the bus to people I don't talk to ever. I'm just like, there's a guy on my on the train last night who looked like, have you seen Ghost? Have either of you seen the movie Ghost?
Yeah.
With Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Well, you know when Patrick Swayze is first a ghost, again, spoiler alert, he's, like, riding a subway, and then there's a creepy, like ghoulish-eyed, like, tall man ghost who goes, like, get out of here, you're not supposed to see me, and that actor's name is Vincent Trivelli, because I just was like, this is the scariest looking man ever, and he's in a million things as a scary looking man.
Yeah.
And then, so there was a guy who looked exactly like him on the train last night, and he approached me, and I had my headphones on, and I had to take them off, and because he was gesturing at me, I was like, oh no, Vincent Chiavelli's gonna tell me that I'm a ghost, and so I take my headphones out, and he's like, I like your tattoo, I was like, thank you. And I put them back in, and that was the end of the interaction. Oh, my God. So it's like, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyway, I'm sure...
This ghoul-looking motherfucker.
This ghoulish, really this Vincent Chiavelli-looking motherfucker.
It's a very deep cut.
But it's such a deep cut, like only... media-obsessed comedians would get that, probably. So, it's those kinds of jokes that you only tell for each other, pretty much. But I'm always thinking about, like, this guy looks like a Corey Feldman that life was even more unkind to than the real Corey Feldman. I think mean thoughts, and then I don't say them. So
well,
maybe
so this is your time to... Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll, like... I don't know. It'll be, like, a pressure valve or something like that. And you won't... Like, just doing that roast battle will mean that you won't get cancer later.
Oh my god, but what if it flips a switch and just turns me into, like, the me, myself, and Irene? Like, just telling... Or no, I'm thinking of Liar, Liar. He tells the truth all the time. I got my Jim Carrey movies mixed up, because I don't watch them anymore, so I don't remember which one's which. Are you okay?
Oh, this is just delighting me today.
Sorry, I'm not even in that silly of a mood, I just don't know what else to say. Because we were like, we're going to talk politics. And I was like, maybe we can't.
Yeah.
So we're really just trying to quickly spackle all the cracks. And poor Ashley's along for the ride.
Yeah.
But maybe we can.
Talk about politics?
Yeah.
We should think about how many minutes have we done?
55. We're almost at a Jackie and Laurie show episode.
No, we're almost.
Do you want to take a break?
I think that we should do 2 episodes.
Okay.
Because you have to be busy for the next several weekends. So
okay.
The more we can bank, the better. If you're down for that,
mm-hmm.
We can call this mess a night and then pretend it's a whole new day.
Oh, peeking behind the curtain here on the Sea Hags podcast.
To borrow a phrase from the McElboys, let's part the kimono. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. Take it out. I need a shower.
Okay. Bye. See you guys next week.
Ta-ta.
Wink, wink.